2-0. Garcia swings, chops one over the leap of the third baseman, Arias down the line. Seager scores. Semien rounds third. He comes home and scores without a throw. Garcia with a two-run chop single, and the Rangers lead 7-2.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
That was Jared Sandler with the call, part of Adolis Garcia's four RBI night. Jacob DeGrom wins his fifth straight decision, and the Rangers, in a fun one, handle the Orioles 10-2 to split the first two games of the series in Arlington, right here on this station.
Thought they were going to have more offense early because this is the second time in a week they'd seen that same pitcher. And he's really only a three-pitch pitcher. And so, like, I thought, man, they were going to go and they're going to get after him early. But then again, this Ranger offense hasn't been, you know, clicking on all cylinders. They eventually got to the bullpen, got to Baltimore and wore him down. I thought it was going to be like a, you know, five runs in the first three or so innings. I guess it was five in the first six innings-ish. But there we sit. Good offensive output.
Let's grade DeGrom's season. And with all this Ranger criticism, waiting for the offense to wake up, maybe we need to praise the front office and staff for a magical handling of him. 9-2 with a 2.13 ERA, 100 strikeouts on the season, and he is tied for the third best whip in the entire sport with a .89.
Whatever's higher than an A+, is that a weighted? Then on a 5.0 GPA, it's higher than an A+.
Yeah, or
he's got honors courses.
He's so many deviations over the average or whatever. Yeah,
this has been every hope and wish you could have had about Jake DeGrom's season has come true. He's been, knock on Corian, healthy. He's pitched as good as he has. No, look, I'm not going to say he's as dominant as he ever was because there was times where he was throwing, you know, 102 miles an hour or whatever.
I was going to say, I'm going to sound negative so far based on how you're talking.
Why is that?
No, just I mean to glow finish up just how glowing you are about all the this is the best he's ever looked or whatever.
Well, yeah, it's not the best ever looked. It's not, you know, that's not the most dominant he's ever looked, but you never could expect that after two Tommy Johns. So he's been healthy and he's been very, very effective and he hasn't felt the need to go out there and just blow it by you. He's pitching. He's not a rock thrower. He's a pitcher. And I am so impressed with what DeGrom has done this year. I don't think there is anything that you could be disappointed about in Jake DeGrom's season. Unless you just wanted to go out there and see him strike out 13 guys a night.
Yeah, he's been really good. It's not as clean on the peripherals as some of his other stuff before. So, like, there's a question of, like, is he going to maintain where he's at right now with a, like, low 2, high 1 ERA most of the season? Probably not. The peripherals look more like a guy who should have an ERA around 3 because he's not striking out guys nearly close to the rate that he has his entire career. He's giving up more home runs than he has typically throughout his career. He's walking more guys. Lately, the walks have been better, but he was walking more guys. So, I think he's been great. He's been a great pitcher. He's not been generational like he was in years past, but he's been great.
He's 37, Bobby.
I know, but I mean, like, we saw him.
I don't even absorb or want to hear comparisons to his Met days. It's not a comparison.
Right, but if we're talking about, like, has he been great? Yes. Has he been elite, like, at the very top of the league and all those things that determine how good you're at pitching? No. He hasn't been.
Yeah, I know. And I look. Nobody likes the analytics more than me. It at the end of the day, like there are some. Is he getting the job done? Is he keeping guys from scoring?
Yeah,
like, that's the number one. The number one goal as a pitcher is not to have a good FIP or a good, you know, X whatever the hell. Right. The number one job of a pitcher is to prevent runs.
Fastest average four seam fastball in the sport. Scooble leads the way, 97.6 miles per hour. Then Soriano in California. Lighter.
Very bad place.
What?
Very bad place.
Lighter third with a 97.4 miles per hour average. DeGrom fourth, 97.2.
Yeah, so like he has taken off whatever, 2%, 3% from his normal. and he's still fourth in the league. That's impressive.
Yeah, he's been great. My whole thing is just like, is he going to be better than Scooble? Like, is he better than Scooble right now? No, Scooble's better. Like that's all I'm saying is that in the past when DeGrom has pitched, every single time he's been the best pitcher in baseball, basically. He's not that anymore is all.
That's fair. Okay, yeah. He's the second best or the third best. I mean, like, you know, look at the American League. It's
10 years older.
Yeah, it's been...
But I mean, he looked like the best pitcher in baseball 2 years ago, too, when he was pitching, is what I'm saying. I know he's been through a time and time. I'm not saying that. Relative to expectations, he's been great. But I think it still has to be measured to, is he like are we going to talk about him like, this is the best pitcher in baseball? No, he's not that anymore. He's one of the probably 5 to 10 best in the AL.
I mean, yeah. So, like, if you look at the... Just go around the sport. This year, is he better than Scooble this year? You know, his ERA says he is. But, I mean, also... It's minuscule.
Yeah, 2.15. Who was going to start the All-Star game?
Yeah, 2.15 to 2.13. He has the same exact ERA as Max Fried. So DeGrom leads the American League in earned run average, all of baseball ERA at 2.13. Like that's, I mean, at the end of the day, I still think ERA is the most valuable stat.
Mally led the league in ERA, and we knew he was going to come back down to earth, though.
Right, but I mean, this is not.
So I'm just saying, I'm just saying, when we look at it, DeGrom will probably end the year around 3. Or something like that. But it's not as much as he's walking guys, as much as the home runs have been giving up, which isn't like league high, but it's higher than what other guys around the league are doing. That's probably not sustainable is all.
God, you're a drag. Jeez.
I mean, he's given up one more home run than Fried. He's given up two more home runs.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot. We're the home of the Rangers. He's awesome. He's the best pitcher of all time.
No, but you and your... What a hot take. What a hot take. Throw him on Victory Plus. He's not the guy from his Met days, and he's 37. He's not pitching like he's 27. Damn, Bobby. Throw you in the booth next to Mike.
He's good. He's big, great. But, like, amazing if we're going to talk like he should win the Cy Young, he should not. That's all.
Okay.
No, I don't even want to hear the rest of it, Choppy. We've nerded.
That's right. I've already destroyed y'all.
I want to hear
Bobby. He has the third. He has the second best whip of any starter in the American in baseball of qualifying starters. Okay, his WAR is the fifth highest of any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
I'm gonna put a bow on it. No one is saying he's the top three pitcher in baseball, but for him to be doing this based upon all the injury at the age, I think remarkable. A+ as well. Peyton Russell was lurking in Arlington before the game.
I know. I should have asked the fans what they thought about Jacob DeGrom this year. That would have been the hotter topic here. But yeah, I caught up with 3 Rangers fans yesterday outside of Globe Life Field. Just wanted to, you know, chat with them a little bit. And this first guy, I found out he was a Mavs fan. I talked to him a little before the interview, so of course I had to bring up Nico and Flag. And look, I mean, it's for the next 20 years, you can bring up Nico and Luke and all that to Mavs fans, and there's never a dull moment. So I talked to this guy for about a minute, and this is what he had to say outside of Globe Life Field yesterday.
All right, guys, I'm back here at Globe Life Field. I'm with a Rangers fan. What's your name, sir?
Tate.
Now, you want to talk a lot about Orioles fans. What do you guys say about them?
Orioles, I don't even know what their game plan is going in today. They don't really have one. They just go into a lot of games effortlessly, mindlessly, being clueless.
Now, are you a Mavericks fan as well?
Diehard Mavericks fan.
Okay, so Cooper Flag, Luka, Nico, everything. If Nico Harrison was right here in front of you right now, what would you say to him?
Honestly, I probably wouldn't say anything. I would let my actions speak and probably end in a black eye. He would be in a hospital and maybe see Captain America the next day. I don't know.
Are you over Luka being traded away now that we have Cooper Flag?
Hang on a second.
Did you understand what that reference was? Because I didn't.
Why would he see Captain America?
I don't know. Maybe he's dead. I don't know.
I don't think Captain America's passed on. Is he?
I don't know.
Captain America did die.
He did?
Yeah.
How does a superhero die?
Didn't he like die or something? Like, that's how he became Captain America. He was like this little guy, and then he like was frozen or he was some experiment and he died. And I don't remember the exact specifics.
Yeah, I was wondering what the reference was. I hope he might see the movie the next day.
I didn't know if like Captain America was like in theaters and he was saying, after I'm done punching, maybe I'll go see Captain America tomorrow. I didn't know if it was like that. Like he was just giving his itinerary.
Okay, let's continue.
Are you over Luka being traded away now that we have Cooper Flag, or are you still hurt about that?
The 4 jerseys at my house say otherwise, so I would say I'm not over him being gone.
So that was the first guy there.
Why would you have 4 of them?
Well, I mean, they got a bunch of different jerseys.
Yeah, City Edition.
Yeah.
4, I don't know. Road like, jersey, I feel like any time I've ever had a jersey of any player, it's like, it's just been the one. Like, I've never felt the need to get, like, all the different styles of the home jersey.
Well, against my better judgment, I guess we have to listen to clip two.
Yeah.
I was not anticipating a Mavs one-on-one outside of the Ranger game. So let's see what clip two is from Peyton Russell.
Yeah, so this next guy, look, he looked around my age, and I was thinking, okay, you know, Bobby plays this game. How young am I? And there's a lot of people on there that I have no idea who they are. Some I surprisingly get right. Most I get wrong. So I was like, all right, this guy's around my age. Let me test him out in some knowledge. So I asked him some people's names, see if he could get that right. And I also found out from some of his friends, he's a Thunder fan as well.
Now, I thought I found a Rangers fan, but really I'm with a what fan? What fan are you of?
Thunder, all the way.
All the way. So you've been a fan since last year, right, basically?
No, I've been a fan since I was born.
Yeah.
And what year was that?
98.
98. Okay, so I got some questions for you. Okay, because a lot of the guys on the show tease me because I don't know big-time names because I'm 28 years old. So I'm going to ask you some names, and we'll see if you know who they are, okay?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, first one. I'll give you a category and then a decade, and then I'll give you the name of them, okay? And you tell me who they are. All right, first one, easy one, and your decade. Crime, 1990s, Timothy McVeigh.
Am I saying what team he's on? Is that what I'm doing right now?
So the category's crime. So it's not a team. It's a guy that's committed crime. Timothy McVeigh. You should know this one.
Murder.
Murder of what?
People.
You know, you're close. So he was the OKC Bomber. So I figured with you being a Thunder fan, maybe you would know that. But you were 98, so right, you would know that.
Peyton. Holy cow.
I'm a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oh, well, I got to tie in. No, we're always looking for transitions in radio.
That was an age thing. That was not a Thunder
what
fan.
What a tease.
Murder of what? People.
Murder people.
Captain America.
Captain America.
All right.
That was good.
That
was a good laugh.
Yes. Okay, next one. This one, we'll do crime again, 1980s. Richard Ramirez. They said I should know this one. Everyone should know this one, apparently.
I have no idea.
No idea. So he was a serial killer. Okay? All right. We'll do one more. We'll do sports.
I know Timothy McVeigh.
Okay. We'll do sports this time. Okay, all right. We'll do 1970s, though. Sports. Famous player, though. Cliff Harris. Who did he play for? What sport?
I have no idea.
That's all right. If you had to pick one of the four major sports, what would it be?
Sounds like a basketball name.
Football. Played for the Cowboys.
Oh. Peyton with authority at the end,
with
too.
With authority.
Played for the Cowboys. I mean, man. do we have to play the third clip?
I can't wait to see which basketball question he asks a third person at the Rangers game.
We are at 50% here. That make, that was a big make. That was a big time make.
What the hell? Let's play clip three.
All right, this next one, you know, we have this Tuesday segment, 7:40, Ask Reddit.
What do you think about Glenn Gullitson?
So I had to ask some Ask Reddit questions to the guy. Okay, Will, have you ever heard of 105.3 The Fan?
I have.
You have? Okay, so you know who Bobby Belt is?
I actually do not.
You don't? No one knows who he is. He's just a third guy on the show. Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, so a segment we like to play on the morning show on Tuesdays is Ask Reddit, where we go on forum Reddit, and we take a bunch of questions from there. So I'm going to ask you some, and just give me your best answer, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, first one. What's the worst thing you have ever seen on the internet?
The worst? I don't know if I can say that.
That's fine. We can bleep anything out. Just go for it.
I mean, death.
You've seen people lay over dead.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That is pretty weird. Okay, so what is a red flag for a woman when you're looking for a relationship?
Astros fan.
Astros fans. You hate Astros fans.
Absolutely.
If Jose Altuve was in front of you right now, what would you say to him?
I told him he's too short to ride.
Too short to ride.
Oh, hey. I get you there. Nice. Nice.
All right. Peyton Russell on the streets in Arlington during the Rangers game. The win before the win.
People are saying on the Franklin injury attorney's fan text that the Captain America reference is about him going to see sick kids in the hospital. Superheroes will show up at the hospital to see sick kids.
Oh.
So Nico will be in the hospital.
Okay.
And then calling out the Thunder fans' timeline because he was born in 98. The Thunder were in Seattle. How could you be a Thunder fan since birth?
I think he means probably from sports consciousness.
I had a Durant Sonics jersey. Now
yeah,
what?
That's right.
Like if the guy would have said he was from Baylor, would Peyton would be like, oh, let's ask him about Branch Davidian. What is Branch Davidian? Do you know what that is?
The payload at 6:40 tomorrow morning, right here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
I think this is the peak of the preseason Arch Manning hype. Good morning, Metroplex. It's the College Kegger here with Sean Sharif. In case you did not know, college-obsessed RJ Choppy, Longhorn and Longhorn supporters, Bobby Belt and Peyton Russell, even though Brian Broaddus would question that because they did not go to the school.
Right. Broaddus isn't even here to question it right now. So
that's right. Paul Feinbaum getting called out by Trey Wingo and others for making this statement about Arch Manning on ESPN.
I think there's a reasonably good chance that Arch Manning will be sitting on the front row in New York at the Heisman ceremony. That's assuming that his team does what it's supposed to do and compete for not only the SEC, but for the national championship. And I really believe they will. I think Steve Sarkisian, who's one of the most amazing play callers I've ever seen, made a critical mistake late in the year. He was way too loyal to Quinn Ewers, who was banged up and was really ineffective. Had Arch Manning been instituted in the second half of that game, like Nick Saban did a couple of years ago with Tungavailoa, I think there's a reasonably good chance that Texas would have beaten Ohio State and won the national championship. They're very capable of doing it again this year. I believe also that Arch Manning is the best college football quarterback we have seen since Tim Tebow entered the scene in 2006.
Man. All right, so Heisman front row? Yeah, that's an expectation. SEC title, national championship, reasonable expectation. Sark, great play caller? Yep. Last year with Quinn? Sure. Ohio State game? Yeah. Are they capable this year to win a title? Yeah. Best quarterback since Tim Tebow?
Uh-oh.
Guys, Cam Newton exists.
He finished number one in that ESPN best last 25 years.
Last 25 years. Cam Newton's guy, right? Joe Burrow played in college football. Arch got to prove he's going to be better at college than Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was amazing in college. Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence had maybe the greatest freshman year you've seen in a long time. And he was as highly recruit rated or higher than Arch coming out. Quinn Ewers was as high of a prospect as Arch Manning coming out of high school. And Arch was considered a project because he played private school football. It was like equivalent of like 2A. Yes, Arch is, I love Arch. I think Arch Manning is obviously, he's the number one pick in the draft this year if he wants to come out, or next year. Whenever he wants to come out, he's going to be the number one pick.
I don't know about that, but continue.
Just the position that he plays, right? I mean, he's going to be the top.
ESPN projected Cade Klubnik the other day.
ESPN is stupid. Paul Feinbaum just said this on ESPN. This is one of the dumbest things. Is he a great player? Yeah. We don't know. There's a lot of hype.
I'd like to challenge him before the Tebow statement. Arch Manning last year in his most action, his most game action, completed 50% of his passes, and then he had a game against Mississippi State where he threw for 325 yards. That's it. That's the beginning, the middle, and the end of what we've seen from Arch Manning. This is like Tim Bontemps yesterday, who I respect, on ESPN saying, if Jason Tatum didn't get hurt, they beat the Knicks, and maybe we don't see all these offseason moves towards the Eastern Conference. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah, they were down like 3-1.
That was a 3-1 lead with Tatum. They would have beat Ohio State. They would have. They would have won the national championship. Based upon 50% completion percentage in a game and a nice stat line against Mississippi State. This is my big worry about all the Arch hype. If his name was Arch Cooper, would you be saying this? Would he be at the top of all the Heisman betting odds? I think not.
Probably not.
And I want him to be good. I want to cover an all-time great season, even though I can't stand Longhorn fans, including the ones on this show. But I still want to cover something great and magical and fun, but good grief. Off of what?
Kyler, Baker Mayfield, the amount of guys that have played since Tim Tebow that are all-time, that are just...
Do you think all those guys are better than Tebow?
No.
I know. So, but
I don't think anybody.
You don't think anybody passes Tebow. So, I'm saying that It's more a projection, though, is what he's talking about.
Right.
So, like, I mean, you,
I think it's very hard for him to project.
Just like you, saying, I think he's gonna suck. Feinbaum couldn't kill you for that. And like similarly, like he's saying something that he's like, this is what I think he's gonna be. When he's wrong, we can kill, because he's not gonna be that. I don't think. I think he's gonna be really good. I don't think Arch is ever going to be like of a level that we're talking about, like historic greats at the college level.
Yeah, we don't know. We have no idea. He's played basically the equivalent of like one game, right?
I think Wingo put it best. There's a good chance Arch could be very good, not only in college, but potentially in the NFL. But it suggests we've seen anything yet to make the best college quarterback in the last two decades is patently false. Paul knows this. Hot takes for clicks. And I agree with that.
It's definitely a... I mean, you need
ovenness. If I saw a five-game body of work, a six-game body of work, and it's like, I see it all.
Yep.
I didn't watch Arch Manning, and I keep bringing this up, and I ask you on the fan text. I didn't watch Arch Manning and go, yo, that's special. And obviously, Steve Sarkisian didn't see enough, because and his agent knows this, listening, I never loved Quinn Ewers. I would have been fine if, after the Georgia game, they went with Arch over Quinn. I would have been fine with that. I understood what I did not, but Steve Sarkisian did not see enough to fall in love with Arch Manning over
Quinn.
There's
a project
Quinn.
Element of Arch. I mean, like, it's just the reality of it. I mean, that's what he was. I mean, he was not as seasoned as, say, Quinn may have been coming in. And Quinn left early, high school early. I mean, Quinn could have used some more time in high school. I think Arch is going to be like tremendous, and it would not surprise me at all if he is at the Heisman ceremony at all.
How strong do you guys feel? I'm talking to Peyton and Bobby. How strong do you feel in your position that the Longhorns will definitely have a better season this year than last year, or as good? I'll give you that safety net.
Yeah, I think they will be. It's tough. I think they're as a team, they're about as good as they were last year. Even though they lost a bunch because they replenished a lot. I think they'll be about as good as they were last year. I don't know results-wise what that looks like. Like, they could still... Because last year they were a flawed football team, too. And so I still don't know what that'll look like. They still got to show that... Can you go into Georgia and not just get your ass kicked? Like, that. Not that like that's on the table this year, but I'm saying, like, those sort of things they have to show when everything's rolling right for you. Are you going to roll into Georgia and then just get your teeth kicked in? Or are you going to, you know, almost lose a game to, you know... Lorenzo Neal at running back for Arizona State? Are you going to let him take over and almost kill you? Like, those are the kind of things that they have to show that they can step up to those moments, because they haven't all the time.
Like, their first game is on the road at Ohio State. That's a brutal spot for your first road game.
It is, but also Ohio State is also guilty of the same thing we're talking about with Texas. Mm-hmm. Like, are you going to step up to this? They did last year, but right before the playoffs started, we're talking about how they don't ever.
Yeah, I expect a lot of the same of last year. I mean, look, it's like Bobby said, they lost a lot of players on offense, some on defense, so it's going to be a newer offense. But the whole, you know, being afraid of Ohio State, like, yes, they're defending champs, but Steve Sarkisian has gone on the road before and beaten Bama, a non-conference team. Like, he's had a good non-conference record in the past, so I'm not totally afraid of Ohio State. Obviously, they're underdogs. Texas for a reason, but no, and it's the same SEC schedule as last year, just flip-flopped. You know,
yeah, so, it's going
to
so be.
Like, I expect them to lose to maybe Georgia, but that's really it. I don't see them losing any other SEC game.
They don't have the only other SEC loss they have on their schedule might be at Florida if Lagway progresses the way people think. That's the only other one. Otherwise, they're going to be a 1-2 loss team, and they're going to be either the number a top four seed, or depending on what they do with the seeding, if they change it up or not, or they'll be the five.
A historically underwhelming organization just walks into the SEC, and you're automatically saying they'll only lose one game, basically, there. You know why? Because the SEC is a myth.
Uncle Peyton on McAfee talking about watching Arch this year.
Look, he's been patient. You know, it's been well documented. The fact that he's, you know, look, been there 2 years. I'm such a believer in mastering the system that you're in, and when you have new coordinators every single year in the NFL or college, that's just frustrating to me. I was lucky, you know, Tom Moore, Pat was there my entire 14-year career. Belichick gave Brady some different coordinators, Charlie Weiss, McDaniels, O'Brien, but it was the same system, right? Nick Saban makes his quarterbacks, our new coordinators, learn his system. So does Kirby. And so the fact that Sarkisian calls the plays, that Arch has been there 2 years already, is going to know the system. That's going to be a huge advantage for him. And I'm looking forward to seeing him get out there on the field. He's worked real hard. I love seeing him go into that camp for his teammate. That's being a good teammate. That's being a good wingman. And I'm excited to get down there and watch a few games this year in Austin.
And there's a larger discussion with that because I think that's spot on. Like, anytime you change, like, you know, what Bill did for Brady with new coordinators, but the same, what was it, the Earnhardt Perkins system or whatever the hell he runs.
And before you get to the bigger system point, last thing on Arch specifically, I read this profile piece on him at The Athletic. It was basically how he was raised and not allowed to have the cell phone until later and all that stuff, and how he would just sit at 3 or 4 glued to a football game in the stadium. He wasn't looking for the popcorn like my kids or the fireworks show. And Cooper said, you'd think he was raised and tutored and molded by Eli and Peyton. Never happened, really. Not really around.
No, they were gone. They were gone.
I mean, never
they
were, gone.
They had a career.
Yeah. So he has not been Manning Academy molded like Andre Agassi and Nick Bollettieri in the Florida summers every single year of his life.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it was obviously his
Cooper
dad.
Cooper taught him to play.
Yeah. And his granddad, you know, because they were all down in New Orleans, right? So it's and Cooper was he was an accomplished player on his own. So it's like, yeah, I mean, you're still learning from the same tree. It's still the Manning tree. It's just not necessarily Peyton and Eli because they were doing their own thing in New York and I guess Denver at the time. But you know, there's a larger discussion with what he said there because, like, you know, he had the same system in Indy and Brady kept having the same system. And for Arch to have the same system for the entire time he's been at Texas is huge. And it's just like, man, how different is the Schottenheimer system for Dak going to be than it was last year? Like, if it is, we're looking at, what, 3 systems in 5 years?
No, I mean, it's hopefully going to look closer to what it was the second half of 2023, which is what Dak wanted. So, yeah. I mean, you would hope that it would fall into something that they were already comfortable with before they had changed things up last year.
Because that's no favors to your quarterback. Even, I mean, yeah, if you have a
Baker. Baker's been going through this like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I know the thing about Arch for me is just that dude better figure out pocket awareness quick because that it's not even just that he has the one of the worst levels of awareness when it comes to the free rushers that I've ever seen. That dude is gonna get hurt if he doesn't like figure it out soon. Somebody could be coming free and he just has no sense they're there and he will get destroyed. That happened like 4 times last year. So he's got to be better at picking up when those free rushers are coming.
All right, little college kegger here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan.
So the Wall Street Journal is doing what Forbes did with the valuations of these college football programs. You know, Forbes does this with MLB and NFL teams. Oh, the Cowboys are worth $10 billion.
Which you said was trash after the Lakers sale.
Has to be trash, right? I mean, the Lakers sold for $10 billion and they're $7 billion. But even though the Lakers didn't even sell for $10 billion, they sold for $4.6 billion. They sold 46% of their franchise for $4.6 billion. I don't extrapolate that out. So, I don't know. It's a little flimsy. But this is the 10 most valuable college football programs, according to Wall Street Journal, and what their value is. And I think the happiest man in America today, did you see this?
Mm-mm.
Is Robert Montgomery Belt.
Oh.
Number 10, Oklahoma. Valued at $881 million. Number 9.
And did they say what goes into this valuation?
Yes. Going into this valuation is you're going to have like true value on a program, cash flow, sustainability, projections, a few other aspects. So a lot of it is cash flow. A lot of it is, you know, how sustainable it is based on recruiting and stuff like that.
Okay.
Number 10, Oklahoma. Number 9, A&M. A&M's valued at just over $1 billion. Number 8, Tennessee. Number 7, Penn State, LSU at 6, Notre Dame at 5. Notre Dame is valued at $1.29 billion. Georgia at 4 at $1.35. Michigan at 3 at $1.65. Texas at 2 at $1.9. And Ohio State at 1 at $1.96. Alabama is not there. And that's why Bobby is the happiest man in America today.
Because of Vandy.
Yeah, because Vandy. I told you could see that victory. It's too bad you're going to see a loss this year when you go see Vandy play because it'll be Texas. But
yeah, my friends whose son plays at Vandy were like, All right, out of luck and superstition, like you have to go to the Bama game again, and it's in Bama. And I was like, what's the Cowboys schedule? That's my first response to everything in life during that time of year. And I'm like, Cowboys play that day, but that's not going to work. And they're like, it's going to, there's no such thing as jinxes. Get it out of your head. Stop. Y'all probably going to get their ass kicked on their own. You don't need me. So no, I'm not going to the Bama game, but I am going to the Texas game.
Bama's not valuable like they once were, obviously, because like that's the whole biggest part. This is why NIL chased Saban off more than anything else, is because the playing field is so much more level now. Yeah. And the cash flow is so much more level. And in some cases, it's bigger than them.
Well, and the problem with Bama, and Clemson is not here either. And you know, Clemson's got a very small fan base. Like, if you were to go in South Carolina, it's like 70% South Carolina fans. It's not Clemson. Clemson's very small. They're not, I mean, they're bigger than TCU, but it's kind of on that, it's a smaller school, right? It's not a big powerhouse, 50,000 students. And, you know, Bama's, I mean, their population, their state's only 5 million. How much of that do they split with Auburn? They don't have a big fan. They don't have a massive, massive fan base the way you would think.
No, but they have a lot of, like, their law school and everything else that they have there. They got deep pockets.
Yeah, they have reach. But I thought it very funny. I thought it very funny that Bama not on there.
This is. I mean, honestly, like their whole everything over there has changed. I had the story in the email earlier this week about Jaheim Otis in. Who went to Colorado, who transferred from Alabama, and he had been a 5-star. And they asked him, they're like, well, why'd you end up at Colorado? And he goes, my dream was to play for Nick Saban and win a title with Nick Saban. That's what I wanted. And he's like, it became really clear last year that coaching staff wasn't for me. And that coaching staff is different. They told Jalen Miller, you can celebrate all you want at practice, and it's awesome. Everybody's happy now.
College Kegger right here on Sean and RJ Hump Day Edition, okay. Which means right now we hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on. Same thing will happen in the 9 o'clock hour if you don't win these right now.
All right, Tolos, that's right now. Call on number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see NBA Youngboy on Thursday, October 30th at the American Airlines Center. That's call on number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Where is Giannis and Dame going to end up after the craziness of yesterday? We'll get to that at 8 o'clock. RJ with a very disturbing piece inside the Mavericks organization. We'll have the random Wednesday wheel spin, but it's hump day.
Hump day.
Expressway, commercial free. We chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Before we get into the obligatory Wednesday chopping it up airplane story or Gen Z article that I found, I've got a problem. I'm losing it.
You're losing it? I saw your email yesterday.
What was wrong with my email?
You sent a story that we talked about yesterday all over again. And I was just like...
Oh, did I forget to take it out?
I'm starting to worry. I think you added it. I think it was actually new. Which one was it, Bob?
It was the NBA one about, who was it? Not going to look. I'll find it.
It was Rob Pelinka and the Dorian Finney-Smith thing.
Yeah, Dorian Finney-Smith and
oh, yeah. I think I had a different take. I can't remember. I think I had that. I think I wrote that actually during the show.
Okay.
And I just forgot to take it out.
Yeah.
Oh, you prepped during the show.
I do it during breaks. If I have an idea, I will. I'll save it. I try to save it for the next day.
Okay.
So
is this what you just alluded to, like in the last commercial break, where you said you made a life decision?
No, that was a different one. That was about Twitter. I had to mute somebody.
Ooh.
Yeah. The guy who blows up our timeline all the time.
Your friend T?
No, the aggregator.
Oh, ML Football.
Yeah, I had to file it. I finally did it.
ML Football, screw you. You're a loser. You are a freaking loser. This guy, I'm fine with you aggregating. I don't put the hate on that. I use it for content, but is it Ari Myrov, JL something, ML Football tags us in everything.
Yeah. So
they tag us in every single story. I tried to untag for like a year.
Yeah.
Tag. I had to block it.
Yep.
I had to stop. And then he blocks you back, got all butthurt. Screw you, loser.
Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Do your own work, you loser.
Yeah, you're supposed to build their audience for them. Oh, I'm going to tag them in this. They'll retweet it. Yeah. I'll get all their Dallas followers. They're trying to get you to basically do the groundwork to get them followers.
I just can't take all the mentions of everyone's response.
People argue it's Eagle fans or whatever, and I just can't do it anymore. And I don't see anybody's...
Aggregate away. Just don't get all butthurt if I like don't want to be included. And it's like removing yourself from a Facebook discussion when it's like 400 people tagged in it.
Yeah.
Don't get offended.
Right.
If I like untag myself because I don't want every single match. I don't even want these guys' group messages here on the show.
Yeah.
Especially when you're driving in.
But I'm in a bad spot. So a little bit more than a week.
Yeah, this morning's group message was supposed to be to respond to the wheel lady finally falling.
Oh, Red Panda.
Yeah, Red Panda.
Red Panda finally fell. She went down.
I know.
Face first, man.
I went,
the greatest halftime act of all time.
Easy. I saw her at old Reunion Arena, like late 90s, Hubert Davis Mavs.
Hubert Davis.
And like I remember seeing her. It was like, she's been going forever.
Yeah.
Forever. But I'm in a tough spot. So I guess it was a week and a half ago. I was like, man, you know, I just can't listen to 90s hip hop anymore. It's just too aggressive, right? It's just I'm too old for that. I respect game and all that, but I just can't do it anymore. I cannot sit there and just listen to it. I roll my eyes. And I was sitting there, I was in the car this weekend, and I was driving back from, I can't remember where it was one of Luca's baseball games. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna start listening to some music. So I go on Spotify and I'm like, you know what? I haven't listened to Metallica in a while. Like, that's like one of my favorite all-time bands. And I throw it on, and I can't remember the first song that I even threw on. It was probably Sad But True, which I think is my all-time favorite of theirs. It wasn't Sanitarium. And I can't do it. It's just, I just constantly rolled my eyes at the, the James, I was like, oh God, I can't do this anymore. And I'm like, this is awful because this is one of my like go-to staple, all-time favorite bands. And I hadn't listened to them in a long time. And I went back and I was like, this is just too damn much. I can't do it.
Yeah, the old man, like, this is too loud.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, God, please do not do the same thing that you've done to me with 90s hip hop and Metallica. Don't do it to grunge and Dave Matthews, because I don't know what the hell I would do then. I would have a big bag of nothing. I can't. So I'm down my two staples. I can barely stand 90s country as it is.
Whoa!
That's corny and cheesy as hell. This one hurt. The Metallica one cut me deep.
Turn it up, Peyton. Should have sent him what song you were listening to.
This is one of them. I mean, I was on this one.
Why? I'm confused. Like, why are these all of a sudden a problem for you?
I don't know. I think I'm just getting old, and it's like, man, I'm just rolling my eyes.
But it's
at
not
like,
old. It's like you're reversing. Like, you're going like, I want all the modern sound. I don't want this.
This is like when people ask if the TV show still stands up. Everyone does it with Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Does it still stand up? Does it still hold up?
Yeah. Now, Seinfeld, I think, still stands up. I don't think Sopranos does.
Wrong.
Like, I just went back and watched the first episode. I was like, oh, man.
What doesn't stand up about it?
The clothes. So out of style, right?
I've watched the first episode of The Sopranos, I think, six times and never gotten on to the second episode. Right,
well, and you know what?
You're an idiot.
I don't hate it.
I also roll my eyes at a lot of the Italian mafia stuff.
There we go. But you can have a pinky ring and
yeah.
Say gabagoo.
Yeah. I just roll my eyes. We're just caricatures of our own.
Did you ever love it?
I used to love it. And then I'm like, man, we're culturally appropriating our own people. That's what we're doing. Right? That's what we do. Nobody wears a
Does Sarah have all these opinions that you... Does she hate Metallica? Does she hate 90s hip-hop? Does she hate 90s country?
She loves 90s country. I don't know what her stance on Metallica. I don't think she has any stance on at all. I don't think we've ever talked about Metallica.
Yeah.
She's not a fan of 90s hip-hop. I don't know, man. This is like, this one hurt. This one really, really hurt. I was just rolling my eyes the whole time.
This doesn't sound... Turn it up.
This one's fine. This one I was like...
This isn't beating you over the head.
No, this was not beating... Like, wherever I may roam...
So, 90s country was like man and his guitar. And then, like, now it's morphed into a little bit more the bro, like, pop, hip-hop country. So, that replaced that. With the rap... You're replacing it with like trap beats, like it's a different style. Yeah. What's going to replace this then? Or what
honestly,
has replaced
well,
this
we
in
don't
your life?
We don't have rock anymore. Like there's no rock and roll right now. Like there's nothing. Like the only thing I have still that has guitar is grunge, alternative, which I could still do. I'm waiting for that. You know, Lord already took Lane Staley from me once. Can't do it again. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm in a bad spot. Help me out. 877-881-1053 on the fan text. All right, here we go. 38% of Gen Z wants a safe space in the office for hookups. This I could get down with. Now, I don't know. Is there a couch? Like, are they going to throw a sofa in there?
Have we gotten rid of the policy that you're not supposed to fraternize in the office? We've just leapfrogged that to you need to give us a hookup room in the office?
I think that's what they're asking for. They're asking for a hookup room or a alone time in the office, which I could see that one.
No, I couldn't.
I mean, we also have a bathroom stall. You go in there if you want to do that.
Wow.
I know we've joked about that couch before.
That couch.
And how who may have done what on that couch. The question I'm curious about is, have any of you ever at a workplace?
Yeah.
I have too. You?
I don't know.
No?
No. I've been maybe made out. I've never done... I never...
You didn't want Grego watching you?
No, I did
there
not
we go. Good job, chat.
I definitely did not want Grego watching me.
And Michael Irvin.
He would have given tips. He would have given tips.
Literal.
But,
move over, John. Let me handle this.
38%.
Michael Irvin doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
When you're encountered like Snoop Dogg does sporting events.
He's doing like that scream AT&T. What are you going to do, John?
38% wish their workplace had a private space, though, for allow them to take a break, in quotes, alone or with a colleague, whenever they desire.
How many of you right now are working in an office where people are hooking up? That's what I want to know. Is this a 40% rate? That seems absurdly high to me.
Yeah, the only...
How many of you right now have something going on yourself or your coworkers are screwing around who work together? 877-881-1053.
I read this on Reddit recently. They were asking about like which professions hook up the most or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the two that were most common answers in there, they said service industry. So if you're like waiters and waitresses all run around with each other.
Yeah.
And then they said doctors. They're like a lot of them,
nurses,
doctors. That they're like a lot of them are hanging around each other for hours on end, and it happens.
Money. I mean, money plays, right?
How much action does a plastic surgeon get? You know, you got all these girls
daily
going in there and wanting fixes and all this and that. Maybe can't afford it. It's like a it's like a video scene playing.
I know how to get you 50% off.
I'm late on the rent.
I know a guy.
Can you give me an extension on the rent?
Is there
anything
I can do?
Yeah.
I'm stuck in the dryer. Give me an extension. Give me a rebate on the rent. So there you go, 38%.
Anyone hooking up, Peyton, on the fan text?
We have a few that have said they've, 469-817, they've met their wife at work. 817 says he did it at a lid store at the mall.
At a lid store?
A lot of people at my work from 317 are married, so not a whole lot.
We're going to have a lot more of this when we move into our new building. I'm predicting future hookups because all the stations and everyone is apparently just going to be on one floor and not 11 floors.
Yeah, but... nobody comes to work besides the hosts. They're all at home, right? Nobody comes to work.
That's the goal. They want everybody on that same floor. They want us being a little like family. They just didn't anticipate it'd be step family.
Chopping it up here on 105 through the fan. Make you guys feel very, very old. Today is July 2nd, 2025. Breaking news. That means that after today, we are closer to the year 2050 than we are to the year 2000. Because today is the midway point of the year.
Yes. Of the year.
Of the year. That
doesn't make me feel old.
It makes it feel like time is completely flying by.
Yeah,
I think a sports reference or like this guy did this then or a team won a championship. Mm-hmm. Those types of things make me feel old. Like, oh my God, that was how many years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I remember Dallas winning their last Super Bowl against Pittsburgh. Like, I vividly remember watching the entire game. That was 30.
Yeah, we just heard in the Netflix new documentary. Yeah.
that was new
content.
That was 30 years ago. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, putting anything in context, the one that always blows me away is 9/11. Because I just remember so vividly everything about that day that when I think about, like, that was 24 years ago, I can't even fathom that.
When you say 30 years ago, I think I wasn't born yet. I think Vietnam, like, 30 years ago. I don't even think that I was born yet 30 years ago, but... here I am at 45. Do not, next time you travel, I know that you just traveled.
Yeah.
Do not put your phone in the bin.
Okay.
Did you do that? You have to.
You have to.
Yeah. Now,
what else am I supposed to do?
I guess they're saying, like, don't put it in a bin by itself. You know, they have those little cup holders.
Yeah.
The little smaller ones. I guess they're saying put it in with other, like, you could slide it in your shoes, maybe.
And why not?
It's one of the most stolen items there is. It's stolen on a regular basis.
I'm watching the security. I'm watching.
The machine eats it? Where's it going?
Yeah, no. It's not the machine eats it. It's just that, like,
obviously.
Is it when it comes out that other people, or you're telling me the TSA people take it?
No, it's other people. So it was like, you know, people also leave them. They forget them.
Yeah.
So, like, they walk away before, because if you put it in a separate bin, you know, sometimes you're in a rush, you grab your bag, and all of a sudden the other bin's there, and then it just stays there, and then somebody takes it.
I thought when we were coming back from Indy, I don't think they made us take our phones out. I think they told us that we could keep them in. And I know that's happening now at ballparks and stuff. They'll tell you, yeah, just hold your phone above your head. And so, I don't know. They're letting you go through those sometimes.
They're not. Yeah, people just basically aren't paying attention. Or also what happens is you put it in the through the conveyor belt, and then they back it out. Sometimes they'll back out some of the other items that are in there because they want to look at them again, and it comes through back through the little car wash looking thing where the rubber slats, and that's when people will steal them in the runoff. So keep an eye on that. If you ever have to travel again, don't put your phone.
No, I'm like a hawk waiting for it to come out. I'm standing over it. It's a race. It's a race to get the bin. So no one's gonna take my stuff.
No one's taking mine.
I'm gonna get delayed because of my last name, which happens again. I had to go back to the counter.
Again?
Yeah. So annoying. I said, I had to go back to the counter, fix something on my birthday. The rest of the family went through. I literally had like my hat, my shoes, and the cell phone. And they still like took my bin and put it off to the side. I'm like, there's no bag. I don't have a bag. There's nothing. There's no computer.
Well, that's suspicious. Yeah. That alone was suspicious.
That is suspicious. That is. They do say that. If you travel with nothing, that's a dead giveaway.
This is a one-way ticket. What are you doing here, Sharif?
Yeah. This is open-ended. You're not going anywhere else.
Chopping it up every hump day during the commercial-free expressway here on Sean and RJ. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And inside the Dallas Mavericks piece that has RJ very disturbed, and where is Giannis and Dame going to end up after yesterday? And plus, we have the random Wednesday wheel spin all coming up right here on 105.3 The Fan.